We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Have you ever tried flavored condoms?
No. That sounds like it would give me a yeast infection.
It did give me a yeast infection.
Oh, no.
I think that they're supposed to be for...
blowjobs?
Yeah. Like, to like safe blowjobs, but...
That, I've never heard something more boring in my life.
Welcome to the Holy Hour. I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Hi.
For another week of debauchery.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we need to have like an intro script.
Ooh. Yeah. Good call. Cracking drinks.
That's our intro script.
Cracking skulls and cracking drinks. Oh my God. It has been the most boring.
The Holy Hour. Dur, 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 dur. It's our new
We're
intro
rebranding.
Song.
We're a metal band now.
Be a good metal band.
It's been the most like low-key Monday I've had in a minute.
I feel like the Unholy Hour sounds like a good metal band name.
Ooh.
Somebody take that.
New band name, calling it.
Yeah, call it. Dibs. Shotgun. Oh man.
You slided.
Oh my God. People were so excited. I posted a picture or a video last night of me and Liz had like a girls' night where we weren't doing Holy Hour stuff, which it's been way too long since we've done that.
Yeah, I also didn't realize it until last week when you left. And yeah. I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, where are you going?
I know, it's so funny. I was thinking the same thing. And that was the first time I had thought
about
it.
Normally we would like dick around for like an hour before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I feel like that was like our hangout time.
Yeah, that's true. And now everything's just busy.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we hung out and yeah. I posted a video of me and Liz and Grandpa, the cat that you guys hear all the time. And people were like, oh my God, is that the cat that we hear all the time?
Mm-hmm, that's him.
He's a little celeb.
Gramps.
He's very a exciting. Chunk. He looks pissed as hell right now. He's just like glaring off into the distance.
He's chilling. But we're going to try and end it with, a little sex tip or fact of the week.
Mm-hmm. That was a suggestion.
That was also a suggestion from a different listener.
When we say that we want to hear from you guys, it really helps us. And we want to like talk about stuff that you want to hear about, and we want to structure this in a way that's interesting for y'all. So just slide on into them DMs.
We're not just saying it to say it. We actually love hearing from you guys.
And we're actually very nice. I know some of the stuff that we say on here is a little
spicy. We're also a little unorganized. So.
Yeah, we're still kind of...
It might take us a minute to respond, but we will.
That's so true.
We will get back to you.
Yeah, when I came over to Liz's last night, she's like, our DMs are like kind of stacking up.
I'm
like, what? You want to know us?
Wait, what?
People are trying to get hold of us.
I mean, honestly, though, like... I feel like you get so many DMs on your regular Instagram already from your TikTok followers. So
yeah.
I can't imagine trying to manage multiple DMs.
I'm so behind on, personal DM. I've just been sending people voice notes back. I'm just like, hey, I can't do this
voice
anymore.
Voice notes are the future, folks.
And it sucks because I want to talk to people. Like, it means a lot that people are reaching out and I'm just like, my thumb, I'm going to get arthritis in my thumb. So voice notes are the way to go. I'm always like... Hi, I hope this isn't catching you off guard.
Do you ever do the text to talk?
I do, but I'm such like a I'm sure you've noticed. I like add a bunch of like extra letters and exclamation marks and shit that like text to talk doesn't get across what I want it to. So I always look like really, whenever I voice to text anybody, they're like, are you okay? Because I sound mad. Because like, I'm driving. Sort of like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know what to fucking add. Just voice to text. So now I'll either send voice notes or I'll like take the time to type stuff out. But I'm becoming more and more of a voice note person as I get older. I understand those like dads that stand in the grocery store and like scream into their voice to text. I mean, I don't understand them, but I understand them.
The dads that stand in the grocery store and do that have no idea what the fuck they're supposed to be getting.
No, that's
they
not
know
true.
If they come home with the wrong thing, their wife is going to be like,
you're sitting on the couch.
Can you do anything? Just kidding. True. We love you, dad. You do so much in general.
Yeah. Shout out to all the dads.
Shout out to dads.
Shout out to dads.
For providing half the DNA.
The real.
Have you seen those like baby announcement, those pregnancy announcements that's like, baby, like recipe for baby, one part mommy, three pumps daddy.
Oh my God. No, that's phenomenal.
It's just like, I saw it on Twitter and people were like, are street people okay?
That's so fucking funny.
And it's just like, straight people will just say like, my husband came inside me. Now we're having a baby.
Doing the one thing he thinks about all day. Now I get to carry this thing around for 9 months. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so excited to be pregnant. I mean, I'm not excited to be pregnant.
But
I am excited.
I don't know. I think I'd be a miserable pregnant person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would just have a really sensitive stomach.
Me too. I already know I'm going to get all the bad pregnancy symptoms. I'm going to be a raging bitch for 9 months. Not easily.
I feel like, I wonder if, like, there's any correlation between what your, like, period or PMS symptoms are like, if they would be similar to how you would feel when you're pregnant.
I wonder.
If they're, like, equally applicable. Like, oh, you get a kind of an idea of how you specifically will feel based on how you feel during your period.
I wonder, because I mean the same processes that are happening in PMS are happening early pregnancy.
Yeah.
So, because your body, like, I don't know the mechanics of this, but like I've heard that your body is reacting as if you have a baby because you're ovulating like you would if you were like about to get pregnant. So like apparently like that's why PMS symptoms are so similar to pregnancy symptoms. Mm. Like, you don't really know if you're PMSing or if you're pregnant, which is what I was saying, I think, last episode. Like, I don't get a period anymore because I have an IUD. So I just kind of always think that I'm pregnant because my boobs hurt still. I'm in a bad mood. I'm nauseous. I have to pee all the time. I'm, like, always convinced that I'm pregnant.
I think you have to pee all the time because of your Adderall.
Probably. Even as a kid, I would always have to pee. So it's just, like, I'm gonna be one of those people that don't know that I'm pregnant until I'm like 6 months pregnant.
Oh my God, have you seen those shows? I didn't know I was pregnant.
Yes.
And then suddenly they're like giving birth in the bathroom.
Yes. Terrifying.
I don't know. I don't know how you don't know.
No, me neither. I'm too much of a hypochondriac. Like, I think the second that there is something inside of my body that wasn't there before, I'm going to know.
Well, you're already like psychic, so I feel like that's you would true. Get. Before you even conceived the baby, you'll probably get like a little like
spidey
sense.
Pregnant tonight. Tonight's the night.
Yeah,
probably. That's true. I have a lot of dreams that I'm pregnant.
I've had those. So I've discovered that when I have pregnancy dreams, it's because half the time it's because my cat is laying on my stomach.
Oh.
Which just sounds sweet, but sometimes I'm like, so this happened when, I don't know, like maybe like 3 months ago, I had a dream that like I was pregnant and it was my boyfriend's was my baby daddy in this dream. And then I was like very apprehensive. I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then he was stoked in my dream. He's like, this is amazing.
Aww.
And then when I woke up and told him that, he was like, that's not what would happen.
Like, it's definitely a dream.
Yeah. My God. I'm aware.
That's good that you had a dream that you were pregnant with his baby. Every single dream that I have, even when I was in a relationship, I didn't know who the dad was.
Oh, half the time that's like, I would say most of the time, I am just randomly pregnant. That's have a dream where you have a baby?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not the giving birth part. It's just suddenly you have a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have, like, all different phases of the childbirth process dreams. Like, finding out that I'm pregnant will be one dream. Then they're always out of order. But then, like, I'll have, like, a labor dream. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. And then I'll have a, like, now I have a baby dream. And my mom said, she always used to tell me when I was, like, when I first started having these dreams, she's like, it means something new's coming. So now whenever I have.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Now whenever I have pregnancy dreams, I'm like, ooh, what's coming? I like that. I don't know. I like thinking about it that way.
I remember I had one specific dream where I had a baby and it was the cutest baby ever. Aww. I was in love with this baby and then I woke up and I was sad. I was like, where's my baby?
God, that was like the soul of your future child. Just maybe. Like poking it. You would have the cutest baby though. You're going to have such a cute child.
My baby might be like me if it's, because I was bald until I was two.
Oh my God.
Just had no hair.
Huh.
So I would probably have a bald baby.
Unless like your baby daddy baby. Is like, came out with like locks.
Has lots of hair. Yeah. Yeah. My brother had like black hair when he came out.
Oh my God.
He did not look like, but this is going to be so mean. My mom was like, so when my mom had me, I told you about this. They used forceps. She had really bad postpartum depression. And after that, when she had my brother, she was like, I'm not doing any of that shit again. So, she did not go, she went to a midwife to have my brother and she didn't go in until she was already 9 centimeters dilated. And you start giving birth at 10.
Holy shit.
And then the midwife was like, measured her and was like, you brat. And my mom's like, let's do this thing.
Yeah, sign it up perfectly, baby.
So then she didn't have any, like, epidural or anything.
Wow.
For my brother. And then she was like, my brother was 10 fucking pounds.
Holy
he
shit.
He was a chonk. And oh I know. My God. I was 8 pounds.
Holy shit.
Look how small I am now.
Yeah, seriously.
10 but my brother pounds. Was 10 pounds.
Fucking hell.
And he's pretty skinny now. So but he was just like a straight up chonk. I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And then, she recovered super quickly. And then she said that, I think the next day she was like out planting roses in the front yard. And then the neighbor was like, didn't you just have a baby? And she's like, yep.
I sure did.
She's like, I'm never doing that shit again.
Men could never.
No. But she had a much easier experience with my brother. Oh, but what I was going to say is, obviously, she was a little delusional from pushing a baby out of her vagina with no medication or assistance.
Yeah.
And my dad was, like, filming her after, like, holding my brother. My parents weren't the parents that were like, let's film the birth. He was, like, recording her after, and then she's looking at him, and then she looks at my dad, and she's like, he's kind of ugly.
Oh, my God, that's on camera?
No, my dad, he was like, we're just going to record over that, and he, like, rewound
it. Oh, I wish that he kept it. That would have been phenomenal to see.
I know.
That's hilarious. What a funny story.
He was a little ugly, but, like, a lot of newborns are ugly. Yeah, so it's nothing for. He was the cutest kid. Oh, my God. By the time he was, like, you know, 6 months, he was just this fat baby.
Oh,
fat babies are the cutest.
Yeah, they really are. I want a chunky baby. Yeah, babies always come out, like, whenever anybody has a cute baby, that's when people always act surprised. Like, oh my God, the baby came out
that's
looking
because
cute.
Because they always come so out. Many babies, I mean, no, I think I tweeted this a while ago. I was like, my hot take is, I think that all newborn babies look the same.
Yeah.
Honestly, they do. I'm so sorry. If you have a baby, it looks the same as every baby I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay, so
I think I've seen maybe 2 cute newborn babies.
Yep, I was just about to say, I've only seen
Max.
A couple. It's a couple
not
of my
to say that they don't get cute later.
No.
It's just, they have just, you know, like
I mean, even their moms
a standard baby look.
Right, it was either my mom or my dad said every baby comes out looking like Winston Churchill. That's all I can see. But all of my friends
just an
that
angry
have
raisin.
Had babies, all of my friends that have had babies, they've come out looking like angels. I'm like, how? How did you do it? So I'm like, I don't know, but I've heard if they get stuck in the, if they're in the birth canal for a long time, they come out, that's when they come out like kind of wrinkly and their head is like, because obviously that,
they have a cone head.
It is so good we don't remember childbirth. They have
jaundice. Just a yellow baby. Like, we better hold it upside down for a few minutes. Get the blood flowing. Clearly we don't know anything about giving birth. Welcome to the Holy Hour. We never said we were experts.
Oh my god.
We have some hot button topics for you guys today.
We do. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. The listener who recommended the ending with like a sex factor tip also asked us to talk about periods. So we're going to talk about periods.
I'm bewildered that we haven't talked about it before.
I know. I know we've like briefly kind of talked about some stuff about mm-hmm. periods. It reminds me of this tweet I read like last week that was like, I've decided my period is done. It's not actually done and I will be ruining my underwear, but I am sick of dealing with it. It's like, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah, heard.
I feel that.
Now that I don't get a period, I kind of miss it though. Because when I do bleed now, I think something's wrong. So I like have been to the gynecologist every time I get a period now. I'm like, did my IUD come out? He's like, are you currently stressed? I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's why. Fucking stop coming in. It's going to be okay. But I miss having a regular period. It's just like a good little reminder. Good old anti-flow.
To remind you that you're not pregnant.
Yeah, it's a nice little gift your body gives you every month to remind you you're not pregnant.
But if you are trying to get pregnant and you don't want your period, then we're sending those vibes out to you.
Yes, definitely.
We hope you don't get it.
Yeah.
Because
we want you to have a baby that you
want
to have.
We want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking on the way over here how many male listeners we have and how they're probably going to want to skip this episode. But then I also read somewhere that it's a very American thing that men don't like hearing about periods. Apparently, like, in other countries, it's very, like, a very open conversation that people that don't have periods are okay with having.
Yeah, my mom was, we were having this conversation about periods the, like last week, like we were talking about, have you seen the show Alone?
Mm-mm.
It's like they put these people out by themselves, like in the middle of like Alaska or Canada or some shit. And whoever lasts the longest, they give you like $1 million or something. So my parents watch Alone together. And my mom was like, anytime there are like women on the show, they don't ever talk about how they deal with their period,
mm-hmm.
which is like, she's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I want to know how they're dealing with their period because like anyone with a vagina for all of existence has had a period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not an unusual thing. It's just
a natural thing.
Yeah. It just happens. Yeah, anyways, I was just like, that's such a good point because I would want to know too. Are they just taking leaves and like making pads or tampons?
Yeah, that's shit that people without uteruses don't have to worry about. They just don't even have to think about it. Do you remember that the NASA astronaut, she was going into space for a week and they sent her like up with 100 tampons.
And then they were like, is this enough?
Yeah. Is this the right number? She was like, no, it's not the right number.
I told my mom about that too during the same conversation.
What the fuck is that? 100 tampons. What did they think, like constantly bleeding? Like gushing blood?
So will this be enough? I mean, I think that's like at least better than being like, let's not talk about it.
That's true. At least they were their best. Like, but 100 tampons for a week?
100 tampons.
Holy shit. We should talk about our first periods. I didn't use tampons until I was 17. I didn't know how to use them. So I just was walking around with like diapers because I had such a heavy period growing up.
How old were you when you got your period?
I was 12.
I was 11.
Oh, that's around like the age that they say is pretty average. I have some friends that got their period when they were 9. I don't know what I would have done.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have been confused.
Me too. Apparently there's some studies around, and obviously this isn't true for everyone, so don't come for my neck, but there's some studies around girls that get their period when they're that young tend to hang out with older crowds and have sex earlier and get into trouble. Like they...
Interesting.
Yeah, because they just like get boobs faster, and then they start getting attention from older boys and, you know, stuff like that. And so they've done a lot of studies on
girls
this.
Who start puberty sooner are likely to get sexually harassed at a younger age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's basically boiled down. That's what that means. Yeah, it's fucked. But yeah, I was 12. My best friend had already gotten hers, and I was terrified of getting mine. I was like, oh, you mean I'm going to bleed once a month? Like, what the fuck does that mean? We had like a lot of health classes about it and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was in health class. And I, for people that haven't had periods before, what cramps feel like is like really bad cramps kind of feel like you're like going to have diarrhea. Like, it's kind of like an achy, like pain. At least
I guess that's like probably the best description for someone who doesn't have a uterus.
Right. It's just a very crampy, uncomfortable feeling. And I was sitting in class and I was like, oh fuck. And I just like got up and went to the bathroom and I looked and I had gotten my period and I was so excited because like it happened, you know, like this thing that I was afraid of for so long. I was like, oh my God, it's here. And I told one girl.
The period fairy came.
She came. I told my friend Maddie. And she told the entire class, just like one by one. So
fuck you,
knew.
Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie, I'm fucking coming. I'm coming for you.
Who's on the list now? Maddie,
Reese,
Charlie, for ruining
my magic trick.
Yeah,
I wonder what he's up to. I should send him the episode.
I bet he's on like forget. MythBusters or something.
Oh my God, I know he's like a magician's assistant somewhere. Oh, I would be. I'm finding you, Charlie. You can run, but you can't hide. But yeah,
anyways,
so
fuck you, Maddie.
Fuck you, Maddie. I was so excited to tell my mom. Everybody ruined this news for me. I was so excited to tell my mom and my best friend that had already gotten her period. I called my mom to tell her and I was with my friend and she yelled in the background, she got her period before I could say it to my mom.
Aww.
My mom like didn't hear air quotes because she probably knew that I wanted to be the one to tell her. She's like, what? Yeah. What'd she say? I didn't hear her. I was like, I got my period. I was like, so like the Easter Bunny had left me a period book that year.
Oh, was it the growing book for girls or something?
It was like an American Girl.
We all have that.
Yes!
That book goes hard.
It does. That was a good book.
Tells you about pubic hair and shaving.
Yes.
And different kinds of bras.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that book.
It was a great book. They did a great job with that book.
And people are still buying it.
I believe it.
I think they reanimated it. Like they redrew it.
It was, yeah, kind of outdated, like, sketches, yeah, but no, it was great. So that was my first period.
Oh, the care and keeping of you, that's what it's called.
Oh, good memory. Yeah. I would have never have remembered that.
My mom is a librarian, was, so.
Tracks.
I got those books. My first period story is way different than yours. I was not stoked at all. I was absolutely horrified. I was in fifth grade, and there's, like, no, like, before we had our little, like, period introduction video, I already had my period. And I was just sitting there like, fuck, I already have mine. And I remember, like, one other girl had her period, and everyone knew and, like, was always talking about it. And I was like, I don't want people to talk about my period.
Yeah.
It's I'm 11.
Yeah. Can we not?
And they don't have any of those, like, little, like, sanitary boxes in children's bathrooms right. In elementary school. So I'm just like walking around with my one pad, and your period's so inconsistent the first like year or two. But I remember like, yeah, I got my period and it was just like randomly like one day I was like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. Like, what the fuck? Did I hurt myself? Like,
yeah.
And because I knew maybe it was my period and I did not want it. I did not want my period.
Mm-hmm.
Not at least until middle school, but...
Well, it's just, there's no way to make sense of what's going on, really.
No.
Like, especially before you have, like, the intro to your period video. Like,
yeah.
The fuck is this?
And, like, in my mom's defense, she tried to, like, you know, have a little conversation with me. And I was like, no, we're not talking about this. I don't want to talk about
That's
this.
That's so standard for kids. Like, we're not doing that. Not
She's like,
sex
so
talk.
You need to start wearing a bra.
God.
I'm like, no!
I will not. I was so excited by it.
Why are my armpits growing hair? Anyways, so then I would just, like, steal pads from my mom's room and just use those. And, like, I tried to put, like, my, like, bloody underwear in places she could find it because I didn't want to tell her.
But you just wanted her to know.
Yeah. I was like, someone help me.
Oh my God.
And so, so then she, I remember my mom isn't even the first one who told me like that people get periods. My friend, my childhood friend was, she was like, yeah, and then you're going to start bleeding out of your vagina. And I was like, you're lying.
No, I'm like,
not. No, that is not true. And she's like, I have it in this book. And she showed me pictures and I was like, no.
Yeah, it's a terrifying concept.
Why? I mean, I didn't understand it, obviously, but I was just like, why is this happening? So then, yeah, my mom, then suddenly she was like, one day she, like, came to me when I was in my room, and she's like, do you think that maybe you've gotten your period? And I was like, yeah, and I started crying, and I was like, don't tell Dad. And she's like, I won't tell Dad. And she just started putting, like, pads under my sink and tampons, too. But, like, I'm 11. I don't know what the how to use a fucking tampon.
How old were you when you learned?
I think I was in sixth grade. Okay. Sixth or seventh grade. Because I was just sick of wearing pads. Like, when you, like, because you bleed so much and you're trying to sleep at night. And then this blood is just, like, going up your back.
Oh, my God. It's the, oh, God. Pads are the fucking worst.
It sucked. So I was just like, I'm fucking sick of this. I'm sick of wearing this fucking pad diaper. Mm-hmm. And I was also in, like, dance and, like, gymnastics and stuff. So just, like, having a pad was not working out for me. So
totally.
I tried it once, and then I, like, didn't read the directions. And I just had it. It was the cardboard ones, too, that don't have, like, the rounded tip. Oh. And so I was just, like, half of it was in there with, like, the cardboard still in, and I was like, this isn't right, and I feel like I'm gonna throw up. And I like took it out immediately, and I was like, that's enough of that. I'm not gonna try this.
No
for
more,
a while.
No more time.
And then I was just like, I think probably like a few months later, I was like, okay, fuck this. And then I like read the directions and I was like, now
sense.
I get it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's really a game changer when you learn how to use tampons.
Have you seen those TikToks of girls showing their boyfriends how tampons work?
Yes.
I think it's kind of cool, though.
I think so, too. I mean,
that they're, like, that guys are just like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they have no idea. There was a trend where you would ask your boyfriend what happens to the pad when you have to pee. That was, like, and men were like,
and now they think the pad works.
You take it off. Why would you take it off? They just know, nobody, of course
they don't
know
that it sticks to the underwear.
Right. They have no way to know. And it's just so, I just never thought of that before. It's so fucking funny.
Like, last month I was out, or no, this was a few, 2 weeks ago, I think. I was out with my boyfriend, and I was like, oh, fuck, I think I just got my period. And he's so adorable. He's like, do you have a pad with you? And I was like, oh, sweetie,
aww,
I don't use pads.
That's really,
it was cute, though.
You want a summer pad?
It's like, oh. But actually, this brings me to a different point. So I use a cup.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never used a cup before.
I love it. It saves me so much money and a lot of time because you only have to change it. Like, you only have to, like, empty it out every 12 hours. But, I mean, I do, I, like, have a pretty aggressive flow and have my entire life. I don't know why.
That's awful.
I don't know why.
I used to also.
Cursed with this. But, yeah, so, like, just not having to worry about it.
Yeah.
And, like, not having to buy tampons every month. I still try and keep some in my house, though, in case, like, someone else needs them. And then sometimes I'm just like, fuck it, I don't want to deal with my cup right now.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I also only use, like, organic stuff. Did I ever tell you? I think, I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast. I had a really shitty allergic reaction to Monistat the one day. Never get the one day.
You did talk about
never
this.
Never get the Monistat one day.
We did talk about this.
Did we talk about it on the podcast?
Uh-huh, with your gynecologist, like.
Oh, yeah, slut shaming
trying
me,
to say
first
you
got, of
you
all.
Had AIDS.
Yeah, yeah, because he just, like, gets a cut of, like, selling an AIDS test.
It's so fucked
I was like,
up.
I definitely don't have AIDS, but, like.
It's just, that's just
but
fucking nuts.
I was like, okay, we got from point A to point B. It's definitely an allergic reaction. But anyways, after that, I have just been super sensitive. Like, my vagina's, like, pH is really sensitive. So I, like, I mean, I never used anything scented anyways because I was just like, this shit smells bad. Mm-hmm. I have a sensitive nose. I'm just kidding. Well, I do have a sensitive nose. Anyways.
But it's also that scented stuff is not good for your vagina.
No. Don't be using scented pads and tampons.
I don't even know why they scent them. There's no
point. It just makes everything worse.
Yeah. And it's only the plastic that's scented, not even the tampon itself. So, like, it doesn't make any sense why you would need a scented... what's the word? Implicator?
Applicator.
Applicator. I was like, why does this not you're like feel right in my mouth?
Into your vagina. Yeah, so I only use organic pads and tampons because I, like, when I tried to go back to using, like, regular tampons, I just would get, like, so uncomfortable from the chemicals in them. There's still a fuckload of chemicals in tampons. Why? For what? Yeah,
so there's a bunch of companies that are... So the pad and tampon industry is apparently a $2 billion a year industry. That's how much money they make.
Periods cost? Get a cup. Yeah. Fuck the industry. That's fuck the patriarchy.
People are finding ways to, like, spend their money more wisely with... Because it's really... They've figured out ways to make you need to keep, like... And they're created by... people that don't get periods too. Like, so this company, oh my God, what are they called? I really wish I remembered the name so I could, like, plug them here. But there's a company that is owned by women, two women, and they have completely re-engineered the tampon to be all natural ingredients. They last longer. They ship them to your house so you don't have to, like, go and buy. Oh, I think
I've totally gotten ads for them.
Mm-hmm. And it's really, people love them. So... I don't know. Like, I think that things are starting to change, but the fact that there have been...
Imagine women being in charge of period products.
Yeah. What a fucking concept. I was terrified growing up of toxic shock syndrome.
Oh my God, yes. I wrote a note on toxic shock syndrome. You did? Well, because there were so many articles, like, warning you against, like, getting toxic shock syndrome. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I've known a handful of girls who have had a little experience where they have forgotten a tampon in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come out for, like, a week or two.
Yeah.
And they don't have toxic shock syndrome.
It's so rare, but the stories are terrifying. I remember reading in Cosmo Girl about toxic shock syndrome.
This Cosmo Girl in 17.
Her skin looked like it had, like, wet toilet paper all over it because her skin was just shedding. Her body was just, like, in shock, which toxic shock. But, like, it was... She was so sick. She was, like, on oxygen. She was, like, on a ventilator. She was, like, really in bad shape because she slept with her tampon in one night. It was, like, a cautionary tale, you know? But then, like you said, there are people that, like, forget their tampons for
and then,
a week,
like, and have sex.
Yeah.
And then
it's really just kind of like
give birth to an old tampon.
It's so unlucky, but they have to put these warnings on every box. So every time I used a tampon growing up, I was like, hey, toxic. And then every time I had any sort of symptom, if I, like, even went 10 minutes past the 4-hour limit, I was like, I'm gonna die. But yeah,
is it 4 hours? I thought it was 8.
Some of them are 4, some of them are 8, some of them are, like, 20 now, like the really big ones. But I don't know, I haven't used a tampon, and so I don't even know the last time I bought tampons.
I can't say enough great things about cups, but also when we were going into the office, I would keep my cup in my backpack, obviously, in case I got my period.
Yeah.
And there was one time where I was looking for it, and it was not there. So my cup was lost somewhere.
In the office?
In Seattle. No, oh. It was probably, like, I probably lost it, like, on the light rail or some shit, like, digging through my backpack.
Oh, no. It's probably, the least gross thing that they've found on the bus,
dude,
though.
When I was in college, I lost my pack of birth control three months in a row.
Oh, no. My God, Liz.
I wasn't having sex, so it wasn't a big deal, but it's still just like, it's like, fuck, did I lose my birth control again?
God, I'm so happy I don't have to worry about taking a pill anymore. I was talking to Liz about this yesterday, but I have been having issues with hormonal acne recently, just in the past, like, 6 months. It's been especially bad. And I use Curology, and you talk to a provider on Curology, and she suggested that I switch from an IUD to the pill. I'm like, I would rather die. The pill was so awful for me just from, like, a depression standpoint, and I would always lose it. I would always forget to take it. Mm-hmm. And I was having unprotected sex at the time. And if you're not taking it,
like, perfectly, mm-hmm. like, you might get pregnant.
Right. That's the thing. You miss like, half a day.
I
think
I know, like, three people who have gotten pregnant while they were on the pill because they, like, yeah. didn't take it perfectly.
Yes. Same. I just don't want to have to worry about that. I can't remember to, like, do things that, like, I have to do every day, like, feed myself. Sometimes it'll be, like, 6 p.m. and I'm like, have I eaten today? How the fuck am I supposed to be trusted to remember to take a pill? There's no way.
I can't remember if I sent this to you, but it's a TikTok where this girl is like, I can't tell if I am lucky or infertile. And I was like, I wonder that all the time.
Yeah, seriously. Well,
I mean, like, I use condoms, so.
Yeah.
But I have not been on hormonal birth control in 5 years.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. I feel you've great. Had bad experience with, like, every kind of birth control you've
and
used,
and different
though.
Kinds of bad experiences. To me, it's just, like, the side effects just aren't worth it. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's just use a condom.
Yeah.
And also, like, I track my cycle. Mm-hmm. So, I also recently got an ad for, like, 100% natural birth control. And it's a fancy thermometer that has an app. And, I mean, like, that's honestly, like, how tons of people,
yeah,
like, don't get pregnant mm-hmm. is they...
Basal temperature.
Yeah, they monitor their basal temperature and... Yeah. Track their ovulation,
mm-hmm.
and it's called they don't get pregnant. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
See, I don't trust myself with that either.
I was looking at the statistics, and that, like, doing the thermometer thing is 94% effective. Condoms are only like 89% effective. So if you're doing both, yeah. you probably won't get pregnant.
Right. Yeah, I know. I keep thinking, because the IUD is so effective, but
yeah,
I
IUD is 99% knowing effective. Me, I'm the copper one's 99% effective.
Yeah, the Kylena, the one that I have, I think is 98.98. It's something crazy like that, but I know. Just like, I've said this before, but I'm like walking Murphy's Law, and I know for a fact that, like, I'm going to be somebody that gets pregnant with an IUD. So I still use condoms. I just know it. I'm
so... have like a, I mean...
Fertile as fuck.
A little sixth sense.
Yeah, well, I just feel like
have you ever had a scare?
Oh, my God. So many. Because there was one year that I was convinced. It was on 4th of July, 2016. I was crying all day because I was like, I know that I'm pregnant. Like, every time I would walk, my boobs would hurt. I was so nauseous. My period was late. We weren't using condoms because I was in a relationship. But I had an IUD, but I was still like, I'm pregnant. But the reason that I was crying was because I was PMSing. I was crying all day. I took a pregnancy test. I went and bought a pregnancy test at Rite Aid, and I was sobbing when I was paying for it. And the woman at the counter was like, Jesus
Oh my
Christ.
God, that's a great story.
And then I peed on the stick, and then I just stared at it. And my boyfriend at the time was like laying on the bed. He knew I wasn't pregnant. He's like, you have got to fucking relax. So he was just like laying on the bed, just like staring at the ceiling, like, oh my God. And I came out and like, I'm not pregnant. He's like, I know you're not. Like, you've got to relax.
My period
and I got my
was...
period that night.
It was just, like, so inconsistent for several months that, like, there was, like, a string of months where I, like, if it was late, I was taking, like, pregnancy tests because I was like, okay, mm-hmm. it's creeping up on 40 days now. Like, what the fuck's going on?
It's such a scary feeling.
Well, it's just annoying when it's not consistent.
Yes.
You're like, what the fuck is going on?
There's no way to track.
Is there something wrong with me?
Mm-hmm. And so many things can throw off.
Yeah. And I've done a ton of, like, I did a bunch of blood tests trying to figure it out too. And then they're like, it all came back normal. I'm like,
cool.
Okay.
Great. Good to hear.
You're saying I'm healthy. I don't know what's going on.
I don't feel healthy. No. I used to do stupid shit like old wives' tales stuff to get my period to start, like chewing on parsley. Have you heard that?
No.
There's this theory, and it's not, I don't even want to call it a theory. It's an old wives' tale that if you eat parsley, it thins the lining of your uterus, which
No scientific.
I'm sure that there's not. I haven't looked into it, but I'm certain that there's not. But for whatever reason, I think it must be like the mind, just like the power of thinking. Every time I would chew on parsley, I would get my period that night without fail. So now still, the taste of parsley is like comforting for me. Because I would always like, no, I was going to get my period. Yeah, but no, I seriously can't. I used to think that I was pregnant. This is so embarrassing to say out loud. I used to think that I was pregnant when I would like dry hump my boyfriends when I was like in high school with jeans on. I was one of those. And like,
that's some Mormon shit.
It was
the Immaculate Conception.
I mean, it was just like, you know, one of those anxiety symptoms that I had of just like always thinking that if anybody could do it, it was me. Like, if anybody was going to get pregnant through jeans, it was going to be me. And I would make my period like
heavy. Was your like high school boyfriend like blasting in his jeans?
No, but like, I didn't have the sex education that I needed to understand that I wasn't going to get pregnant through my jeans, Amelia. And now looking back on it, I used to seriously scare the fuck. I was dating a Mormon at the time, and he wasn't supposed to be even thinking about me, let alone dry humping me on the floor of my bonus room. They're not even supposed to be
masturbating.
They're not supposed to think about sex. So I...
That's how you breed serial killers, is by being like, sex is bad and you can't think about it.
Or like sex addicts. Like, I know a lot of people that have left the church that have just gone nuts, which is great. Good for them. Embrace your sexuality. But like, that's just kind of counterproductive.
Yeah.
But he used to cheat on me all the time. So that was, you know, counterproductive too. But he... I would always text him and be like, I am pregnant. And he would be like... And he didn't know either. He wasn't getting the education because he's Mormon. Yeah. So he's like... Oh my God, what do we do? I don't know. What do we do? And looking back on it, I'm like, fuck, I should write him. Like, I should send him a fruit basket or something. Sorry for putting you through that. He has two kids now. I wonder if he ever thinks about that. So when we dry humped that we conceived these two kids? I don't know. I guess we'll never know. But yeah, that God, was hilarious. So to answer your question, I've been having pregnancy scares like back to like 4 years before I started having sex.
Your pregnancy scares were more of that you were afraid you were pregnant.
Yeah, I mean, the one on the 4th of July, I was
convinced.
There was, like, you couldn't tell me otherwise. I was convinced.
A lot of the times, like, I've read that you do, you can get pregnant, but then you, like, lose the egg immediately.
Mm.
And that happens pretty often. And, like, you don't really know because
right.
You just think you got your period.
Right. Huh. Well, shit.
So if your period's super late.
That makes sense. Well, fuck.
Yeah.
I know if you get pregnant when you have an IUD too, the odds.
You might have an ectopic pregnancy.
Or you could miscarry when they try to take the IUD out. So it's mm-hmm. just like, anyway, have you had pregnancy scares? Like active pregnancy scares?
Only when my period was really inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But no like specific time when you were like certain.
There was one time I was especially worried, and it was after my ex and I broke up. Like, I think we've all had an experience where you, like, break up with someone, and then you, like, still hook up with them, like, mm-hmm. a month later, because you're like, I'm still in love with you.
Uh-huh.
So we had that little thing happen where, I went home for Christmas. It was, like, right after I moved to Seattle, and we broke up. Because he's a little bitch. He's a little bitch boy who couldn't handle that I moved and I have a life. Yeah. Anyways, it's neither here nor there. I would have been miserable if I stayed with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we hooked up when I went home for Christmas. But I had, right before I went home, I had also hooked up with this other guy that I started seeing in Seattle. And so, like, my period was late and I was really panicked. Because I was like, if it's anyone, it would be my ex. Because I used protection with this other guy and not with my ex.
God, I'm so
I'm a monster when I'm on my period. And not, like, emotionally a monster. I just want to eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bottomless pit. I get so hungry on my period. I'm like, where? Why?
Yeah.
Have you seen the girl on TikTok who does, like... the point of view, like, she's the chill girl.
Yeah, the one that's friends with all the guys. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How did that make you feel?
Triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent it to Anna, and I was like, is this as triggering to you as it is to me? And she was like, I think I would literally say out loud, I am leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every girl that has, actually not even, but in my instance... And I'm sure in your instance too, dating a guy that has a best girlfriend, they are all the same. The best yeah. girlfriend is always the same. In like middle school and high school. In college, I think they get a little bit cooler, at least in my experiences they have.
So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, like the chill girl, it's not just like a guy's girl. It's like Jason. More of a pick me mm-hmm. type of girl who wants to be like, she's always talking about how she's one of the guys and yeah. she just like can't be friends with girls mm-hmm. and like, does all of these things to like appeal specifically to, the guys she's friends with.
Yeah.
But they're just friends. But like, if you are dating a guy who has one of those friends who's like, yeah, I'm just like one of the guys, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Alarm bells go off for me when they're like, when girls can't keep friends who are girls.
Yep.
And I know that might sound kind of bad, but like, I've met a handful of girls who just like, they cycle through friends. And it's because they're, like, insincere people.
Yep.
And I think it really comes from a place of, like, narcissism, of needing attention in a specific way.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I found her. Her name's Kelsey June. If you want to find her on TikTok, she has this character that is just, like, fun. It's the perfect summary.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not even, and I hear what you're saying where it's, like, this sounds bad, but I think that it's, like, there is a specific type of girl, and everybody that's listening knows exactly what we're talking, you know exactly what we're talking mm-hmm. about. Like, the, like, you know, like, splashing each other in the pool, and, like, you know, like, just, like, the whole, like, flirting with the guys thing, and, like, not being able to keep girlfriends because you are a type of way. Like,
and then like being backhandedly nice to you. Mm-hmm. So like to just like some straight guy, they're not going to see it. But to other girls, you're like, I'm going to fucking fight this girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, it's always a red flag to me when girls can't keep girlfriends, period. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm sure that there are like one-off instances where like, you know, like maybe they were like raised with all brothers and like they don't feel understood by girls. There's different instances, but like there are always these pick me girls that are just, they just don't get along with girls because they're mean and they like don't like the drama, but they're always like
but the source of the drama. But they start the drama.
Yeah. Ugh, I can't deal. I truly can't. That is such a universal experience.
Yeah.
For, I was reading the comments on Kelsey June's video and everyone's like, did we all have the same experience growing up? Like, do we all experience the same high school experience? Yeah, everybody has that girl. And I know I have like names in my head of people that were that way when I was growing up.
I didn't really like, I would say, so I sent it to my boyfriend and I was like, do you get this? And he was like, not really. And yeah. I was like,
they're oblivious to it.
Yeah, I was like, oh God, I'm gonna have to deal with a pick me at some point in his life. Mm-hmm. Amelia just made a face because I kind of did.
Yeah.
But I'm 29, so I don't actually give a fuck.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're 29 and she should be too old to be doing this. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say I stopped seeing that kind of behavior around age 24. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of peters out.
Yeah.
And I think it's also because we're, like, the older you get, you just, you know, your frontal lobe's done developing. Mm-hmm. You are able to be more empathetic and, like, you just have a different view of life and the world and you're like, oh, I'm not the center of the universe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No one's gives a shit what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, drama doesn't really affect me in the same way as it used to. Like, that kind of thing used to really get to me. Like,
mm-hmm.
anybody that was, like, trying to, like, take the attention of my boyfriend at the time was always my number one threat. Like, and it consumed all of my thoughts. I'm like, yeah. He's going to choose her over me. And that's what they want. Like, they want you to think that they're superior insecure. In the group. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, as we've gotten older, it's just, like, it just doesn't really hold as much weight. Also, I haven't, like, been in a relationship for a minute. But I still think, like, I probably wouldn't really.
This actually brings me to, like, my favorite point that I just remembered my therapist had told me. Because, like, the circumstance that I was explaining to her, I was like, I just kind of don't get it. Like, I don't compete with anyone because nothing's a competition. Like, mm-hmm. there is not a limited amount of, like, you know, people you can date. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't yeah. make sense to me to, like, compete in that kind of way.
Right.
Like, it's not a sport.
Yeah.
Or, like, because we've all met a girl who, like, you're like, I am getting this weird vibe, like, you're competing with me.
And it's an insecurity thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, the way my therapist explained it to me, she was like, if this person is treating it as a competition, it means that they still have a chance. Mm-hmm. So if they're telling themselves that, it is protecting their ego from having to admit that this person doesn't want to be with them. Mm-hmm. And like that made a lot of sense to me. So, and I always like, I try to approach things from like, with like a standpoint of empathy of like, we've all been that girl where you're like insecure and maybe the guy you like is interested in another girl and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
But like, I gotta overcompensate now.
Totally. And I understand lashing out in that sense when you're growing up and you don't really have coping mechanisms outside mm-hmm. of like being competitive. But as you get older, it's like, look within. Like, why are you feeling like you need to be competing? Like, don't make it someone else's problem.
Yeah. Like, well, and like, yeah, sure, you can try and compete with like whoever someone is dating mm-hmm. in your head, make it this little competition. But at the end of the day, like, you shouldn't want to be with anyone who doesn't want to be with you. Yeah. Like, everyone deserves to be with someone who wants to be with them.
Totally. Totally.
And to have, like, that mutual respect and love for each other in a relationship. Yeah. Like, don't... don't, like, put this person on a pedestal.
Totally. I think that there's kind of, like, a Hollywood aspect of it of, like, being, you know, like, your best guy friend has a girlfriend and, like, then he decides he wants to be with you and it's, like... But, like, if you look at that in reality, like, not a really cute scenario.
No.
Like, well, I would be so insecure.
This is, like, so perfect for something else I had written down that my therapist and I also talked about somewhat recently of, like, there aren't any shows or movies that are about a healthy relationship and healthy and honest communication because it's boring. Mm-hmm. Like a healthy relationship is boring.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. Like,
no, it's good boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's boring in a great way. Yeah. But like there's a reason there's no media around it because no one wants to watch a show about a relationship where they like have perfect communication or like, you know, they're not fighting and there's no drama and there's no like highs and lows because that's not a good movie. But then it also sets up an unrealistic expectation of how you're supposed to, like you think you're supposed to feel when you're in love.
Yeah.
And I realized this especially when like my ex-boyfriend would like breadcrumb me a lot where like he was a fucking asshole to me most of the time. And then there would be these few moments where it's just like everything was perfect and you're constantly trying to like regain that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And things were never as good as they were when we first started dating. So it was just like he love bombed me and then it was just like
you're always wanting it.
Exactly. And then you're like, okay, what is going on?
Yeah.
Anyways, I was just like talking to my therapist about how when I started dating my boyfriend now, you saw it. I had so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And before I probably would interpret it, I would have interpreted that as like excitement. Mm. But like now that I understand myself better, I was like, I am so goddamn anxious because I haven't like felt like this about someone in a long time.
Yeah.
And then once that anxiety like leveled out, I just had this huge drop in like dopamine and I was just like, what is going on? But, now that things are like normal and healthy and we have good communication, I was like, just kind of, I don't know. I was just reflecting on like the comparison between my past and now. And I was like, I think it felt like such a roller coaster for me at the beginning because I've never had a stable relationship like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was always guessing what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So in this circumstance, I was like, why was I so anxious? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, like you're always going to go off of like what you have experienced in the past. And like, I mean, so I have two thoughts about what you just said. The first is, like, I think that that's outside of the experience that you had going into it that caused you to have that reaction. People always have this weird low period in their relationship once the honeymoon phase wears off, and I think mm-hmm. it's probably that same reason. It's, like, the dopamine just crashes, and it's, like, okay, now we're just, like, leveled out, and, like, we're not fucking nuts about each other anymore. We're just existing, and you have to, like, readjust to that.
Yeah.
So for that to be the reality, and then you also to have all of this, like, external stuff playing in, like, of course you felt that way. Like, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the Hollywood aspect of it as well, of, like, what am I supposed to feel like?
The highs and the lows. Right. Yeah, and then you're like, what even is love, actually?
Yeah, totally. But then, so my therapist, the other thing was, my therapist today, I talked to her about this analogy that she, apparently a lot of people know it. I had never heard it, but like about like a pottery class, the teacher separates the class into halves, and one half has the entire semester to make one perfect pot, and the other half is getting graded on how many pots they can make in the semester. And like the group that's making as many as they can, they obviously, it starts out as like ugly pots that have like, you know, they like have chips in them, and like they're just like not cute chips, like not food chips, like chips.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by the end, they've practiced so much that like the final pot is better than the pot of the group that was just making one pot the whole semester. Because like as you are learning and as you're figuring out how things are done, every single time you do it, and not even just in every relationship, but like as you're learning and as you're fighting in your current relationship and like, you know, going through trials and tribulations, you figure out how to like make this like perfect pot. And mm-hmm. like unless you're going through all of those like issues of like, you know, fights and like disagreements and and like your beliefs not aligning and blah, 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 you end up figuring out how to make things work perfectly for you. So like when you're coming into relationships with all of this external stuff, like you still have to like work through all of that, but it helps you be better the next time, mm-hmm. you know? So anyway, I say all that to say, like there are so many instances that you go into a relationship and you have baggage, as people call it, but there's ways to like shape it through like therapy and like reflection yes. to make it serve you well. And I think it's so natural for the beginning of a relationship when all of that external stuff is at play to be a fucking mess, because uh-huh. how the fuck are you supposed to deal with it? Like,
I was trying so hard to make a perfect pot, like the first part of our relationship.
Everybody wants to, nobody wants to
fail. I don't
want to
make any mistakes because like I had been completely abandoned before. Mm-hmm. So I thought any mistake I made was going to be a reason for him to want to break up yep. with me.
Absolutely. You were, because that was reinforced in, like you're saying, in past relationships. Yeah. And I'm the kind of person, I don't want to try anything unless I know I'm going to be good at it.
Exactly. And I'm like that too.
You can't get good at it unless you try it. Mm-hmm. And so like...
And I'm also in a standpoint where, like I've been going through therapy, obviously, we talk about it so much, that like I'm changing all of my protective behaviors that I know aren't working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. So however I would have responded in like feelings of anxiety would be to like be a reason to make him like want to argue with me about something.
Yep.
Because my past has taught me if I start a fight with someone and they still choose to stay with me, I have this temporary relief where I'm like, okay, they still want to be with me.
Yeah.
And they're staying with me because they care about me, mm-hmm. even though we just had a fight.
Yep. Yeah. It's like the momentary relief, the momentary comfort.
It was so short-lived, too.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. My last relationship, like, if I, toward the end of it, when we were, like, actively breaking up, if I could make myself feel better for literally a half hour, I would do it. Because it was, like, the momentary relief of just not worrying for 30 minutes was the best. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, I know everything's okay. And then I would start worrying 30 minutes later, but the 30 minutes of bliss, it's so fucked up, the shit that we put ourselves through to like get through relationships mm-hmm. unnecessarily. Because if you need to be doing that stuff, something's not right. Like either you got to break up, or if this is the person that you want to be with, you have to put in a lot of elbow grease and not just those like band-aid
yeah, where fixes. You're like, why am I actually, like, why do I actually want to start this fight?
Yeah.
Well, it's because I'm insecure about something else, mm-hmm. and that has nothing to do with my partner.
Yeah, totally, and that's
so maybe I should talk to them about it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, not to say that like this relationship isn't the first relationship I've had since my like really terrible ex. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had several dating experiences where I've been able to like, you know, challenge my default, yep. like, defense mechanisms totally. And work on that.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But, I mean...
You've been also, working on those pots.
I've been working on my pot.
And that's great. That's kind of what I've been doing, too. I was talking to my therapist today. I've been concerned that I'm going to be non-monogamous my whole life. Because I'm rushing into, Liz and I talk about this all the time, and I know people that are listening can relate to this, like feeling like there's a time frame in which we're supposed to find the person we're supposed to be with.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling with that because like right now I'm dating this like really, he's giving me every indication that this should be something that I enjoy, and I keep finding reasons that I shouldn't. And I was like, I just don't know if I'm ever going to be satisfied with anybody that I'm with. And I've really been struggling with it. And that's okay. Like, polyamory is a real thing. Non-monogamous relationships are a real thing. But it goes against what I've always thought that I would want. Because I'm very big on, like, companionship in one person. Like, I've watched my parents together my whole life. I've been so lucky to have my parents stay together. And I've always wanted that. And I, like, want that one person. And also, the thought of just being with one person scares the fuck out of me, because of course it does. I was with one person for 8 years, and like it just really ended 3 months ago. So of course, yeah, I'm not ready to jump into something, but I've been panicking about it. It is a scary thing. And so like being able to pull that apart in therapy and talk through it and try to figure out like what the fuck could be going on, and like challenging the external stuff that we hear all the time, like the waves of people that you graduated high school with, like all getting, you know, moving in with the person that they're with and then getting engaged and then getting married and then having a kid. And like, I'm here like living in my parents' basement still. And like, which is, I'm just on a different.
Saving that coin.
I am. I'm making it rain. But no. And I love living with my parents. Like I really do. They're really fantastic people, and it's comfortable.
If getting the bag means living with your parents, get that fucking bag.
Fuck yeah.
Secure the bag.
Well, so here's the thing. I completely agree. And everybody that I talk to completely agrees. But there's also this idea of like, why haven't you moved out of your parents' house yet?
They're gone half the year anyway.
I know, I mean, they're gone. But also it's like, why is that a thing? And it's because of society. Like, yeah. You know, like, so it's just, I don't know. I've been working really hard at like pushing against the like clear cut guidelines that we have for how relationships are supposed to look at this age. And it's different for everybody. Yeah. I probably won't get married until I'm like mid-30s. And even saying that sounds ridiculous, because that is an okay age to get married.
Yeah.
Like, but I still say it and I'm like mid-30s. Like, oh my God, can you believe how old that is? When like real, that's young. That's young. Mm-hmm. But when everyone around you is getting married, you know, earlier, it feels like you're doing something wrong. And I know that I'm not.
It's exactly the conversation I had with my therapist last week. Mm-hmm. Of just telling her like, this is how I'm sincerely feeling. And like every fucking day, it doesn't matter what platform I'm on, someone is engaged. Yeah. Someone's having a baby. Someone is announcing a pregnancy. And when you're not there, you're like, because we've grown up having grade, like you're in each grade, you mm-hmm. know, there's some guidelines.
Yes.
You're like, okay, I'm a junior in high school, and then I'm going to be a senior with all of my other senior peers. Like everyone's the same age, everyone's in the same place more or less. And then, after that, like after you graduate college, if you go to college, like there are no fucking rules, and you're not set up to like accept that you probably won't get like some job right out of college that's in your field.
Yes.
It might take you a few years. It's pretty rare that I meet someone who's like, yeah, and then I graduated and then I got a job in the thing I studied.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, right. I didn't. It took me a long time to get here. Luckily, my degrees come in handy, but they wouldn't have before. Like, they didn't for my first couple of jobs. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, once there aren't any guidelines, you're just like, am I doing something wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not meeting any of these, like, societal standards and expectations and markers of success that I've been, like, my belief systems have been built around. Because, you know, most of us have boomer parents who are like, and then you buy a house, and then you get married, and you have kids, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you buy a car, and you pay off your student loans. And you're just like, why? That shit doesn't sound like it'll make me happy. Why am I supposed to be doing all of that? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
And that's a conversation I constantly am having with my parents anytime I talk to them. They're like, why don't you pay off your student loans? I'm like, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I would rather spend money on whatever the fuck I want while I am still hot.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is stupid, but no, whatever. I don't need to talk about
it. But why is it stupid? It's, I mean, like, it's like...
Maybe
it's
of interest, but
well, whatever. I mean, maybe student loan forgiveness with, like, Joe Biden. Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for a socialist to be elected and waive my student loans. Right,
Bernie Sanders, 2024. I'm kidding. But, yeah, no, I think it's outside of interest, but, like, I think that it's stupid, air quotes, because it's not what we're supposed to do, quotes again.
And it's a good reminder that all of these kind of, like, standards of success that we have are so deeply rooted in capitalism and, like, patriarchy that, like, we're getting to a point with our generation where we're, like, challenging those ideas.
Yeah.
We're like, what the fuck? We're all working from home now, and we're like, why the fuck are we working 8 hours a day?
I was just about to say, the 40-hour work week is so outdated.
Yeah.
That's, like, from, like, fucking, like, before electricity was around.
Yeah.
The 40-hour work week.
Why are we doing that?
Because we've always have. And that's the thing, is, like, we have always done all of these things that we, like, keep feeling like we have to do. And it's working really well for some people that I know, and that's great. But, like, it's not... We need to stop living our lives like there are these, like, cookie cutter ways of doing things. Just because it's right for one, for a couple, doesn't mean it's right for you or me. And, like, it's frustrating to know that. Specifically for me, I know that. I've never felt forced by my parents to live in a certain way. I've never felt anybody in my life has, like, but it's all been self-imposed. Like, I keep seeing all of these people around me. And I know personally that I don't want to be in a relationship right now, period. Mm-hmm. But I catch myself being like, all right, I gotta, like, and I am dating. I've said this on a past episode. I'm dating differently now. I'm dating more intentionally now to then eventually find my person. But I don't want to be in a relationship right now. And I'm still feeling like, okay, well, I gotta have to find my person. Because I've been to parties before pre-coronavirus, again, don't come for me. Before coronavirus, I went to a party that was 35 people, and 34 of those people were there in a couple. That is a fucking ridiculous... I was the only single person there. And it sucked. And I was miserable. And I'm okay being single, but still, when everybody around you is in a relationship, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's hard to... Like, it's natural to compare yourself to other people because we're humans. Right. Like, we want, like, some guidelines.
Yes, here. Exactly. Totally.
Because otherwise you're just kind of floating around. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing?
Exactly. So
I think collectively we have all been having an existential crisis where, I mean, so many people are challenging their belief systems and they're like, okay, do I actually want this?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
and I think that's a great thing.
Totally.
Like, as a collective, like, I don't know, have you seen Soul?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, I think that the world would not have been able to take on that movie if we weren't in the place we are right now.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense.
100%.
To fully accept it and take it in for everything it is and contemplate these ideas of life and death and the purpose of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, I watched it on New Year's Eve and I was sobbing.
Yeah.
I, like, when it ended, I was just sitting on the couch and I was just like, thank God no one else is here because they would be concerned for me. But it just felt so good to, like, cry and, like, be like, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah. That movie was phenomenal. I watched it with my parents. We watch every Pixar movie together.
That's cute.
I just fucking love Pixar. But we watched it. And then my mom always goes to bed at, like, 9. She always, like, starts to go to bed at 9. And her and I sat on the couch. My dad went to bed before. My dad's a night owl, but he went to sleep. And my mom and I just chatted until 12:30. That movie was just, like, so cathartic. Just, like, talking about, like, the purpose of life and, like, what we hold important to us. And, like, if you haven't seen Soul, they didn't do a very good job advertising it because it was supposed to be in theaters. And then this bitch Rona strolled on in.
Yeah, but we're still in the pandemic because for some reason people are just like, it's not real. Like, and then you're like, didn't your, like, husband die from coronavirus? And you're like, yeah. Like, okay.
I can't. I see people just living their best life in Australia. I'm like, oh, God,
God, damn it.
Could be us, but couldn't be us because America.
We could. America could never. Literally.
Anywho. should we switch topics?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also wanted to talk to you about... Oh, God, where was it? Oh, the vaccine making you gay?
Okay, so I saw your tweet with, like, SpongeBob.
Yeah, I was like, is he, you know, vaccinated? Yeah.
And I was like, that's funny, but I didn't know. That was the first that I'd seen about it. Who said that?
Some, like, televangelist pastor or some shit was like, the vaccine makes you gay.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, so... nothing makes someone gay. We all know that. You're born gay.
Right.
If you're gay.
Fucking dense to not realize that by now.
You're born that way.
Yeah.
And my logic for that also, I was thinking about it today. I was like, you can't control who you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Everyone has a different type that they're attracted to. And you could apply that to, like, your extracurricular passions. You don't control that you love that. It's just something that, like, your heart was like, I like doing this. It feels good.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing as, like, attraction.
Yeah.
So, like, scientifically.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
You can't contract being gay.
Listen.
You just are that way.
If there was a vaccine that could make me not attracted to men anymore, I would.
Sign me up. How many women would be like,
yeah,
hello, I would like to be gay.
I would pitch a tent outside of that doctor's office a week in advance. Like, I was, like, waiting for, like, Billie Eilish tickets.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, but wouldn't that be so great? It'd be so relieving. What a stupid fucking thing to say.
Well, and then I was, like, thinking about it. Like, okay, so let's say that was true. Mm-hmm. The vaccine makes you gay.
Yep.
What does it mean if you're already gay?
Yeah. What, do you have a reverse effect?
Yeah. Will you become straight? And then what if
you're... What a nightmare.
What if you're bisexual?
Yeah. Oh, my God. What would happen then? Fuck.
I feel like if you were bisexual, you would remain bisexual.
I would just... I'm thinking of, like, osmosis. I'm like, what could you... What would happen? You just go pan.
And if you... Yeah. If you're gay, would it turn you straight?
If you're bi, you just go asexual?
Ooh.
Maybe. It's just fucking ridiculous. I'm like...
But also, COVID can cause erectile dysfunction.
Oh, shit. There's also some people that are having, like...
vaccine.
Psychotic breaks after having... They're, like, starting to see some, like, connections between, like, psychiatric disorders popping up and coronavirus.
Oh, interesting.
But, I mean, like, it's one of those things that it's, like, if you, like, take a pill and then you, like, throw up when you're taking it, they have to put that on the fucking commercial for the pill. So it's like, it's just like a law. So I don't actually know the truth of it.
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised if people started going crazy after a pandemic, after you make everyone stay inside.
Yeah.
And people are dying and losing loved ones, and every fucking day, like, frontline workers have to, like, essentially be put in a position where they might die every fucking day. Yep. So
right, our brains are so malleable. Like, of course that would have, like, an effect.
Yeah, of course it's traumatizing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Thanks.
I just can't. I really can't. I tried to figure out what that whole thing with, like, the vaccine turned you gay was. So I was, like, on Twitter, and I was like, my search history on Twitter is, like, gay, vaccine gay, vaccine makes you gay. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because everybody was talking about it and I couldn't find the story. So I didn't realize it was an evangelist.
I follow a couple of different news outlets just so I'm not entirely out of the loop.
Yeah.
And also Lil Nas X, like, retweeted and he was like, it's true. This is me before and after the vaccine. And, like, that it's the same picture, but the after one, he has his hand up.
I love him.
He is... so incredible. Yeah. Like, he just kills it on social media too. He's
really,
like,
does.
No one else can compete with him.
Yeah, he just gives no fucks.
He's phenomenal.
So I have been meaning to tell Liz this story. It's a
you're gonna
short
tell me about
story.
Fake Dom and the condoms.
Mm-hmm. It's a very short story, but I knew that I was forgetting to tell her something, and I remembered it the other day. So, and it goes along with the whole pregnancy conversation we were having. So when me and Fake Dom hooked up, if you don't know who Fake Dom is,
listen back a couple episodes.
And I'm also jealous because I wish I didn't know who Fake Dom was. But When we were about to have sex, I asked him if he had a condom. He did the whole, like, oh, yeah, thing, which, thank God I didn't let him hit it raw. I wouldn't have, but, like, that man, I would have thoroughly regretted that, because he, you know, dipped the next day. But anyway, so he pulls out these condoms, and they're just, like, loose in his drawer. They're not, like, you know how condoms are, like, attached yeah. together? They're just, like, a bunch of loose condoms. Like, he had, like, picked them up at Planned Parenthood, which is fine. And, but I didn't think anything of it. But they were red, like, bright red. And they weren't in English, the packaging on them. But I was like, I'm trying to fuck. Like, I don't really care. They're condoms. Condoms are condoms are condoms. So
I have no idea what you're about to tell me.
He put them on. We had sex. Red condoms look weird because they look like something's up. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So.
Like, the actual rubber was red?
Mm-hmm.
That's confusing. They're
colored condoms. And so we had sex twice using those condoms. Both of them were red. And then when I was leaving, he was like, you want to hear something funny about that condom brand? I was like, I don't know, do I? Like, that's not like a good thing to say post-sex. And he was like, they had recently, he got those condoms. His friend, I guess, picked them up for him in Thailand like 2 years prior. And the company has since gone bankrupt because there was a woman who was collecting used condoms, reshaping them on a dildo, repackaging them, and selling used condoms to look like they had never been used before.
What the fuck?
And he was like, we're probably fine though. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would he tell you that?
Why would he tell me that, A? And B,
use them.
Why would he use them? If he knew that story, why would you use them? So I was like, okay. I haven't been able to, like, duplicate this story. So who knows if it's true. But, like, the fact that he was holding on to that and doesn't have other condoms and didn't think to say, I do have condoms, but it's probably not a good idea because, like, that's fucked up.
That is incredibly fucked up.
Super fucked up.
All he cared about was himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which tracks for the rest of his personality. God. Can you fucking believe that?
That's atrocious.
I really suppressed that memory. I kept thinking, I was like, that's because, I don't know what I'm
trying to tell Liz. I mean, I feel like his bad jokes dominated most of your memory.
Fake dominated most of my memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake domed your memory.
He was a special one. He was recently traveling a bunch for fun. I'm like, that.
Oh. Yep.
He was like posting a bunch of videos of him on vacation, just all over the place.
This guy fucking sucks.
I know. I really dodged a bullet.
Anyways.
I was blinded.
I'm going to take this opportunity to tell everyone to just, I don't care who you are, have your own condoms mm-hmm. on hand.
Yep, amen.
They're like tampons. Just have a few around.
Mm-hmm. I would probably have my own condoms now, which is great. I'm very excited to have my own condoms. My gynecologist was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what do you mean you don't have your own condoms? Like, I don't know. They just always have them. And I've been so happy since I've had them because there's been a lot of instances where a guy hasn't.
So we're going to end this episode with a sex fact. And I had uncovered this, like, I can't remember what I was researching, but there was, like, all of these, I was looking something up about, like, vaginas.
As one does.
As you do. And then just, like, the most common searched, like, phrases were popping up or, like, commonly searched things, and it was, like, it made me realize how uninformed so many people are. Mm-hmm. So it was like, if my girlfriend isn't as tight as like the last time we had sex, does that mean she's cheating on me?
Give me a fucking break.
So this was really interesting. The like, not, I don't want to say looser, but like kind of, yeah, like the looser you are, it's because you are more turned on. So the tighter you are, it's because you're not really into it.
Damn.
Yeah, your vagina gets bigger when you're, like, really into it.
Wow. Even if you're, but, like, nerves, too, could make you tighter.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I'm sure where you're at in your cycle.
If you are a grown man and you still think how loose a woman's vagina is has anything to do with how much sex she's had or different people she's had sex with, just stop don't have dating. Sex. Just call it a day.
Put your dick in a guillotine.
Mm-hmm. Do us all a favor. Seriously, like, it's so disgusting. It's like, it's women push entire babies out of their vagina and it snaps back into place. Like, yeah. Your itty bitty little pencil dick is not gonna.
I think I was just looking up to see what would, yeah, if your vagina like goes back to normal after you give birth, because I don't know, I've never had a baby.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking up. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, does this mean that she's cheating on me? And it's like, no. Also, if you're like, oh, my girlfriend's loose, go to hell.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. It's fucking sad.
If she's into the sex you guys are having, it's going to open up a little bit more. That's a good thing.
I just can't deal.
Otherwise, just go fuck a fleshlight and yeah. Stop bothering women.
Just educate yourself. For yeah. The love of fuck. Thank you for listening to us, though, because this is good education.
Yeah.
Our little opinions. So
that's a little sex tidbit. Love is, that. The looser, quote unquote. I hate, and we need to use a different word, but the looser okay. you
yeah,
are.
That. Yeah.
The more aroused you just likely relaxed. Are.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Who doesn't want to be more aroused when they're going to town?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I want to be more aroused yeah. when I'm going to town.
I want to be having a good time too.
Yeah. I know. Might come as a fucking shock. We also want to enjoy sex.
Yeah. If you are not in a position where you don't want your partner to be enjoying sex as much as you, then you should not have sex.
Heard.
Mm-hmm. Go here, here. Get yourself a sex toy and leave normal people alone. And that's on that.
Amen. Okay, I like that. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Please rate us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Holy Hour. If you're listening to this, you know how to spell it. And
subscribe and download on Spotify. Mm-hmm. These are just numbers that will help us get sponsors.
Yeah, and we want to do this full time.
Yeah, because then we could give multiple episodes a week.
Yeah,
that's God, the
can
dream.
You fucking imagine.
I'm speaking it into existence.
Yeah, we're manifesting it. 2021, the year of the holy hour. But thank you for listening. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.